Blog Talk Radio.
Live here on the Marketing Pulpit. I am your host, Sharon Bennett. Just so delighted that you decided to join us today. And as always, I have my co-host joining me, Dr. Ira Lake. Dr. Lake, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. Good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice, too, and I'm just so excited about some of the stuff that's going on with you, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in the show today. For all of those who tune in every week, you have been with me since day one. I say it all the time. I do. And I'm going to say it again. Thank you so much for your support. Oh, I just love, love, love you. For those who may be new, welcome. We're always delighted to have new listeners. And I just want to remind you, if you have a question, if you've already dialed in and you have a question, just push number one on your phone, and you will be put into the queue for questions. You'll be put into the queue for questions. We love questions, and we'll be happy to answer any of the questions that you might have today. And I just want to kind of remind you of some things that we talked about on last week. Therapist, I was telling the listeners about the seminar that you did here in the area, and the information was just so wonderful. So I was telling the listeners about that, and I had a guest on the show last week, a guest therapist on the show, and we kind of talked about something that you, well, actually, it's a question that came to you on last week. For those who may be new, we are in a series, actually, Preparing for the Unexpected. And this series will be coming to a conclusion within the next 2 weeks, Preparing for the Unexpected. And, therapist, you were asked a question at that workshop as it related to trust. And it was a powerful question, and you gave a really good answer. And for some reason, I felt compelled to talk a little bit about trust, and I want to really let the listeners know that some may be going through some of these things, and that trust isn't something that you sometimes have to reestablish or establish at home or in a relationship or even with a friend or best friend. Doctor, sometimes it's necessary to reestablish trust at work. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I agree. Trust is not something that you just give and then it stays intact. There are always things that can break the trust, that can weaken the trust. And so we should always be strengthening, whether it be in a relationship, whether it's with a profession, in our profession, we always should be strengthening that trust bond.
So true, and you know what? We said most practically every week we kind of try to remind the listeners as far as what our mission is. What our mission is here at the Marketing Pulpit, and of course our mission here at Sharon Live on the Marketing Pulpit is to build strong businesses so that we can put people to work. Well, you probably wonder, how does the Marketing Pulpit do that? Well, the Marketing Pulpit has several radio shows during the week that target business concepts and whatnot. And here at Sharon Live, I tend to slant more towards the relationship issues as our relating to each other, whether that's at home or at work. But therapists, we're going to dive right in with this because I was so compelled to do this. Well, not only is it important to establish trust in your relationship, but also at work. And, oh, my goodness, sometimes work seems to be the hotbed for trust that has been defied or trust issues between coworkers. Well, therapists, in one of the studies that I was reading, it says that many of the experts tend to agree that trust is probably the most important element of a harmonious work environment. And if that environment is going to be efficient, trust is imperative. And typically that organizations that have trust among its employees, they tend to be more successful than those who don't have as much trust. What are your thoughts about that study?
Well, I believe that trust is what they call in the construction terms. Trust is the load-bearing wall in every relationship, work, personal, professional, all that. Trust is the load-bearing wall, which means that it supports the majority of the weight of the other aspects of work and or relationship. So if the trust wall is weakened or compromised, you can rest assured that the other areas like communication, the way the work environment, the atmosphere in the work environment, that will say a lot about how conducive it is for growth, for prosperity. And they take that same concept and you have the same questions when it comes to personal relationships. Trust is the main ingredient. And if it's not there, you're not going to communicate. And so when we talk about trust, you know, in a personal life, we talk about person have my trust, where he or she remains faithful in the relationship. But that's the only thing most people look at. Trust is more than that. Can I trust my employer's decision-making? Can I trust my coworkers' decision-making? Can I trust them with my emotional health? You know, I'm at the job 8 hours a day, and if I've got some problems or I don't understand, can I trust that I can talk to my boss or supervisor and they won't make me look bad or throw me under the bus? In a personal relationship, can I trust my partner's decision-making? Can I trust them with my emotional well-being? All of those comprise trust. And that's why it's the one clog that if that's not intact, everything else goes to pitch.
You know, that's why I like the fact, Doctor, like that you are on my show, because that was perfect, because we are actually going to be talking about some of the very things that you said. And what's so funny is the same type of trust issues that you may have at work are the same ones that are in the home front. And
that's correct.
I want to talk a little bit about that. Several of the reasons that you may find, whether it's in your organization, where there is a small company, mom and pop organization, a corporation, whether it's in a community, of distrust causes people to perform poorly. It causes people to not be able to be as productive as they need to be. It leads to arguments, and all those types of emotions and that energy can have a devastating effect on organizations, but it also has a devastating effect on relationships. Now, what I want to talk about, too, first of all, is, okay, trust is so important. First of all, I'm going to talk about how we can cause trust to be lost. And then I want to come back and talk about, okay, what are the things that we can do to make sure that we are establishing wonderful foundations for trust. First of all, therapists, and I know you can relate to this because I know you probably talk to organizations and clients about this, but one of the main reasons that trust is lost in organizations and companies and churches and in relationships is, one, because of lies, either overtly occur covertly, whether you fudge the truth, and it happens all the time in corporations and organizations. I can tell you that it happens all the time. we sometimes people call them little white lies. They call them, oh, we sometimes we have to tell them everything, and then employees or employers find out the truth. And that often leads to ugly consequences. Other reasons trust can be lost, because of rage, because of violence, because of infidelity. There's so many reasons that a person can lose trust, whether it's in their spouse or whether it's in their relationship or whether it's in their employer, their manager, or their employee. And when we take a look at the reasons as to why trust is lost, Dr. Lake, what is really happening when trust is lost between couples or in a work relationship? What is actually happening to the individuals?
Well, I can answer it this way. Once trust is lost and gained, a lot of times you can trace it to some hurt or pain that a person is feeling. And it was so traumatic that they never learn how to reestablish trust or establish trust with a person or another person. Trauma creates another opportunity for mistrust. And again, once it's lost, it's like milking a cow. It may take a while to milk the cow, but it only takes one kick of the bucket and the whole milk is all out of the bucket. And you can lose trust in an instant. Decision making, bad choices, that can lose the trust. You know, somebody that's been emotionally and physically scarred, they never learn to establish trust with, and they never see human relationship as trustworthy. And so these things filter over into both our personal lives and in our work life. Some people are afraid they don't trust themselves, confident that they can do a job or perform a task sufficiently enough. So they're always afraid of the other shoe falling or somebody, you know, seeing that they don't. Maybe incompetence is another way to put it. But again, once it's broken, it's the hardest thing to reestablish.
You know, I totally agree. And when we come back from our short break, I am going to share with you, and I hope you're listening. I hope you are listening, especially if you are a manager, if you're in an administrative role, and even if you are in a relationship. I'm going to share with you 5 fastest ways to lose trust, especially from your coworkers or from those you work with, and in your relationships. When we come back right here on Sharing Live, here on the Marketing Pulpit, along with my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake.
You're listening to Johnny Lee with the PeaceAtWork.org organization and the E-Panic Button. And we're here with Sharon Bennett on the Marketing Pulpit.
Have you been trying to figure out why your employees don't listen to you? Have you been trying to figure out why can't you get past that production mark? Why can't we build this building? Are you wondering why you can't feel that connection in your relationship? Well, it could be. It could very well be that you've lost the trust of those significant in your life. That's right. It could be that you have lost that trust. So, doctor, one of the first ways, and these are some of the fastest ways that people lose trust, we act and talk inconsistently. And to me, that's
huge. Wow.
Yes, I knew you would get out your reaction. Nothing confuses people faster than being inconsistent in what you say and what you do. Now, my father used to tell us, I can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you're doing. Now, doctor, how often do we see that? Not only in relationships, but we see that in communities of faith, from the pulpit down, from conference down. We see it in organizations with management. They say one thing but do another. Is that one of the fastest ways, in your opinion, to lose trust?
Well, we remember most of what we see, very little about what we hear. So
yes.
Our actions show more than we give them, than we allow, than we really realize. And so consistently, if I see something that contradicts what you say, that has a more lasting impact on me. And that
it really
does. Uh-huh.
It really
right.
does. It really does. So acting and speaking inconsistently, huge. And another one, instead of seeking shared gain, we seek personal gain. When you find a manager, it's all about me. It's about me getting my bonus. It's about making sure that you work hard enough so that we can get credit, that you work hard enough so that we look good, I look good as opposed to everybody benefiting, as opposed to it being a win-win situation. If someone is for him or herself, especially, doctor, if it's in a team environment, that is one of the fastest ways to lose respect and the trust of others, especially if it's in a team environment. And most relationships, most work relationships are supposed to be about teamwork. Even if you think about the relationship in your own home, it's supposed to be about teamwork. And if it's all about me, that's one of the fastest ways to lose trust. Have you found that with any of your clients or people that you work with, that some of them have lost trust because it was all about them?
Well, selfishness is a human problem, regardless of gender, race, ethnicity. It's a human problem.
It is.
And,
yes.
and let's just call it like it is. We all look out for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take something as simple as two people deciding on something, but the other person has to have it his or her way or do it their way. Selfishness is something that we all must be on guard about.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree, and selfishness is huge. One of the fastest ways to lose trust, especially with your coworkers, family members. The next one is when we withhold information. Completely shutting the lines of communication down from the top down or the bottom up. Withholding information, especially key information. Rumors start, misinformation starts running rampant. People start believing stuff that may not necessarily be true. And not only that, but if the information has gotten too late or is never, ever delivered, people lose trust. Withholding information, lying, telling half truth. Another way to lose trust. And here's one, Dr. Lake, and I know you can speak to this one because you have to try to open people up to communicate all the time, but being closed-minded and unwilling to consider other people's ideas and their point
wow.
of view. How do you do that?
Man, that's like real big. I tell people that there are four tools in one's toolbox that if we use them, we would solve a lot. We would solve all of our problems. The first tool
all of our
is
problems.
All of them. Well, other than the sin problem.
That's awesome.
But the first tool is humility.
Yes.
And the second tool is compromise. The third tool is open-mindedness, meaning I don't have to, there are other ways to do this or to come upon this. And the last one is forgiveness. And if we use those four tools, tell me what we couldn't solve.
Oh, my goodness. All of those, you could do one seminar on all of those, humility, because those are so huge. I mean, it sounds so simple, but so many people have trouble with all of those things. They really, really do. And so, Dr. Lake, now that we kind of have an idea as to what some of the fastest ways to lose trust from our coworkers, kind of want to talk, use the last segment of the show to talk about what can we do about that. If we know how we can lose trust among not just our staff or our managers, our executives, and even communities of faith, and relationship. We know how we can lose it. Now we need to look at how can we create trust, especially in the sense of reestablishing trust. Let's say, for instance, you just lost all trust. No, people aren't trusting you, or you're not trusting someone. We want to look at how we can rebuild or how we can create trust. And one of the things that I want to look at, and you can speak on all of these, but establishing and maintaining some sense of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Being the foundation of trust is integrity. And what does that really mean? We hear the word integrity. You should have integrity. But what does integrity really mean? Now, I guess on a simple level, it could mean just keeping your promise and telling the truth. No matter how difficult it is, tell the truth. So that people don't have to wonder, are they holding back information? Are they not being honest about the situation? How key is that as far as humans to establish some level of integrity? How important is that?
That's like the main character trait. If you can, you know, I always hear this term, be men and women of integrity. And for that, for me, that means that you can be counted on. Your word is literally your bond. I mean, ifs, ands, and buts. You are truthful. You're honest, not just in your decision-making and how you treat others, and you're not going to I can't say enough about integrity. That's the goal for all of us, to be men and women
right,
of integrity.
Right, it is. It is. It really is. And another key to making sure that you establish trust, and I think this is huge as CEOs and as owners of businesses, this is huge, communicating your vision and what your values are. Because if you don't communicate what your vision is, people aren't going to have anything to follow. What's important? Have you really sat down and thought about, you know, what's my vision? If I'm going to be leading this company, if I'm going to be leading this organization, if I'm going to make sure that this, even this relationship works, what is your vision for a good relationship? Therapists, do you find that a lot of people don't even think about what their vision for a relationship is, let alone what their organization or their business is? Do you find that to be an issue, not knowing what the vision and values are?
I agree. And most businesses should have a mission or vision statement. This is what we are about. This is what we are trying to do, and this is how we're going to get there for it in organizations. But also that should be something about your in your personal life as well. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it. That's also a part of establishing your boundaries and setting forth what you want to accomplish. And it goes, again, between personal life and professional life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tell you something there, and I'm going to say this. But I think one of the most attractive things about a person, especially, and I'm going to say it, especially men, I'm just going to say it, is them being able to communicate what their vision is. Can you imagine, therapists, how powerful it is to, and I keep going back and forth with the relationship and organization with this topic because they are, it's needed in both of them, both the organization and the relationship. But how wonderful is it when you sit down, you know, this is my vision for this company. This is what I feel is the vision, and this is how I feel we're going. This is what I think we can do to get there. This is the vision. This is the mission. This is how we're going to achieve this. Can you imagine how powerful that would be even in a relationship, whether it's with your children or if it's with a spouse or couple, but they can sit down and say, you know what, this is what our vision is right now, and this is how we are going to get there. How powerful is that?
Well, think of it like this as well, because it is powerful. we normally fill organizations up with people, and then we craft a vision. And then we wonder why the core organization is not running the way it should. It's because we've got it wrong. We get our vision first, and then we fit people in who fit that vision, not the other way around. We look for a spouse. We don't even know what we're looking for. So we'll just settle for anything. And I'm saying, know what you want, and then you can be selective in your body, because everybody won't fit where you want to go with your life. Everybody won't fit the company where you serve or that you're leading. They have to understand what it is the overall goal and vision of the organization, and you fit people who best meet that goal.
You know, I love that. I love that. You know, that actually could be one of our shows, the fact that everybody's not going to fit in your company. Everybody is not going to fit in your life. But how are you going to know that if you don't have a vision or goal as to how you're going to achieve that vision? Oh, my goodness, we could stay on that one. I love that. See what you do? You always bring stuff up that, and it causes me to want to do a show on it. So I'm going to put that one on the back burner for now. But the next thing that I want you to consider as well is making sure, and therapists said this word, this one important word, selfishness. It applies even in business, just like it does in your relationship. If it's all about you, if it's all about you getting what you want alone, a lot, even in your business, making sure that you consider all employees as equal partners. And that simply means it's okay to get someone else's thoughts or their opinions about something. Give them credit for what they do. Therapists, how many times have you possibly been a part of an organization or worked with families, and they just refuse to give either the children credit, they've refused to give their husband or wife credit, or they refuse to give their employees credit for something that may have been a great idea or helped them to be more profitable in an area? How important is making sure everybody feels equal in the business or the relationship?
Well, We know for a fact that when people feel valued and appreciated, they work better, more efficiently, and there's very little turnover rate. The companies that get it are the ones that are prospering. They are just blowing up because they make the employee feel valuable and appreciated and wanted. And the goal is to create such an environment within our organizations that the turnover rate is going to be minuscule. And the same can be said in our relationships. We ought to create the kind of relationships where the other person feels so loved and so valued, and in turn, they pass it on to you. They pass it back to you. That's where you have the growth and the attachment, and you have some serious intimacy building that's taking place.
That's awesome. Very true. And I know, and the thing about this, Dr. Lake, is that this stuff sounds so simple. It really does. But if it was as simple as it sounds, then we probably wouldn't have as many issues as we have as it relates to trust. People probably wouldn't be coming to you, you know, if we actually did these things. And then doing your best to do what's right, regardless of the personal risk. And again, we're human. We don't always do what's right. But when you put forth the effort to do what's right, especially as it relates to your employee, as it relates to your family, and they know in their heart, you know what, they're going to try to do what's right for us, and we believe that, that establishes not only trust, but respect, doing the right thing. How many times have you worked with someone or you've gone to a community of faith or a church and they have this as their mission statement, do right, we're going to do this, we're going to try to establish these types of relationships cruelly? It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. It really, really happens. So I guess the takeaway from this show today is, and again, therapists, I did these two segments because of the workshop that you did, which, by the way, it was excellent. And if you missed his workshop, I tell you, you really missed something. And you can go to Dr. Lake's website at empathic, I-M-T-A-S-I-K, .org, and you can find his schedule. You can find what's going on with him. You can get his book. But I thought that question regarding trust was huge and how it can relate to both businesses and relationships. And, Dr. Lake, if you had any final words as far as how trust, how important it is, what would you tell the listening audience as it relates to trust?
Well, in order to begin, the easiest way to begin learning how to trust somebody is to trust them.
And there you have it, folks. I love it. The easiest way to trust somebody is to trust somebody. You know, my mother told me the other day, doctor, she said, you know what? And what? How did she put it? She said, everybody's innocent until proven guilty, you know. So, you know, you've got to trust people. Just trust. And hopefully everything is going to work out, and the things that you want people to do to you, there's a golden rule. Hey, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You might find your life going a whole lot smoother. And also, something else my dad used to tell me. He said, you know what, babe, if you want to be successful, surround yourself by people who are smarter than you are. If you don't know how to trust, find somebody in your life that you know is trustworthy and learn some of their skills. We do that here on this show. That's why we have Dr. Ira Lake on our show, because we surround ourselves by people who are smarter than we are. So we want to thank you so much for listening, sharing live here on the Marketing Pulpit along with my co-host, and we encourage you to have a wonderful day. Therapist, if they want to get in touch with you, you know I always like you to leave your contact information. How can my listeners get in touch with you to do a workshop or a seminar or just for individual counseling?
Just reach out to me directly at 714-376-8643.
And there you have it. Thank you so much for joining us. And have a wonderful, wonderful day. You've been listening to Sharon here on the Marketing Pulpit along with my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake. Thank you for listening.